speech on Lot. And God, we're going to use a lot of Lot to tell a lot about God. How's that? We're going to be in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. I've been doing a lot of studying on this thing and had a few mind curves thrown in there because I always assumed that he had four daughters. I mentioned that last week. I assumed that he had four daughters because he had and went and talks to his two son-in-laws. But back in those days, it may have been that he was betrayed. Those two other daughters might have been betrothed, not yet in marriage or living there. So it could be that he only had two daughters. And so we'll get to it. So I've had a lot of study going on, and I guess there's some things you'll just have to, some things a man just has to settle for himself. Was it four daughters or two? But the story's still going to be the same. It says here, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall arise up early, and go unto your own way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under my shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou any here besides the sons-in-law and son and thy sons and daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this place. But he seemed as one that mocked, mocked unto his own sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on him, upon his hands, and upon the hands of his wife, and upon the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord, Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me, and saved my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one. Is it not a little one? My soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thy concern, this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou be come thither. Therefore he came, the name of the city was called Zorah. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zorah. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities. And he overthrew and in which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I'm thinking I may have to do it. No, I might have to divide this into two sermons maybe. And he looked toward Sodom, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Let's stop there and start over at the beginning. We may finish, we may not. We'll see. It says, if we start off this thing, we already know from the last story that Abraham and Jehovah God and the two angels had dinner. And the two angels went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord spoke to Abraham. Abraham prayed for the lives of the righteous folks there. And he said, if I find 10, I'll not destroy it. And there came to these two angels, the two that walked on off while Abraham was talking to the Lord there. And they came at even, so they walked. They didn't fly. They didn't take a plane, but they left there and they walked just like people would walk. So when they came up to Sodom, at the gate there, they were walking. They looked like regular men. They looked like real men. You could have never told that they were angels by their appearance other than they were good-looking guys. And he says, and Lot sat at the gate. And Lot, seeing them, rose up and met them. And he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And says, in other words, he showed hospitality. He saw these two strangers coming. He saw these two young men coming. And he ran out to greet them, showing hospitality. He went out to show kindness to them. And he said, behold, my lords. He recognized them as being special because he bowed himself down. He showed reverence to them. Of course, I know that was the pattern of back then. And he bowed down himself and into his face to the ground. And he showed reverence. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto thy servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. In other words, I'm not going to hinder you if you're doing your business. I'm not going to hinder if you're going wherever you're supposed to be going. But I know this city. Now we know in Peter it says that Lot was a righteous man. And it says that Lot vexed his soul day by day by day by watching the things that were going on here at Sodom. So he knew exactly what kind of town this was. These men says, nay, but we're going to stay out in the street. We're going to stay out in the street and see how these people act. What's going on with them? And Lot says, oh, no. You can't stay out in that street. That's a bad place. You need to come in and meet and be with us. And he said, and they pressed upon them greatly, he says, and they turned unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast. And I hadn't looked that word up. Most of you think that's a big barbecue or something, right? But the word feast actually means a drink thing. They sat down and drank wine. They sat down and had a conversation. And it also said that that place had named baked unleavened bread. And the reason they made unleavened bread most likely was because it's quicker to make unleavened bread than to have something sit there and rise for 3 hours until you get ready to cook it. So they had wine, and they had water, and their substance, and unleavened bread. And they sat there, and they ate their meal, and they were having a good time in fellowship. But before they laid down, between supper time, between the feast time and bedtime, before they laid down, the men of the city, even of Sodom, compassed the house round about old and young. Old and young, and all the people of every quarter. So these people who were in Sodom who did these sins, it wasn't just the folks on the other side of the track. It wasn't just the ones that lived up on the hill. It says they were the old ones and the young ones. And they were from every quarter. So regardless of what neighborhood around town you came from, they were all involved in this type of activities. The men were with the men. And I'm assuming if the men are with the men, the women are left alone, the ladies were with the ladies. But it's called Sodom for a reason, and we know what that means. So these people were accustomed to doing that particular sin. It was nothing new to them. They were used to it. And from everywhere, and you got to take that. So Lot, sitting at the gate, he's got his tent out here facing Sodom. All of his family, all of his members of his family, all day long, every day, they see this type of activity going on. And I know that you've heard it preached. I've heard it preached. Separate yourself from the world. Get away from those kind of things. What goes in your eyes pretty soon will affect your eyes. What goes in your ears will affect your ears. What goes in your brain will affect your brain. Well, we've got to understand that this whole thing that took place with Lot over 10 or 18 years, whatever he was there from the time Abraham left him there, probably 13, 14 years, from that time on, he's been sitting there looking at this stuff going on. And he might have been a really, really uptight guy when Abraham left him. But he's been watching these activities. Same thing with us. Whatever we watch, whatever we talk about, whatever we do, if we don't watch out, they'll pull us down. So it says here, right about time to lay down, and the men called Lot and said to him, "Where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." So these men, angels, look so much like men that these people could not distinguish them from regular men. And they wanted to have relations with these men. He says, "Bring them out that we may know them." And Lot said, and Lot went out at the door to them and shut the door behind him, because in those days when you were a guest at somebody's house, or if you're a guest at my house and somebody comes and wants to drag you out in the street, it's my duty to protect you. It's my duty to stand up for you. It's my duty to keep you protected if you've come under the cover of my house. And I would hope the same way today would be the same. But it says here, he went out at the door and they wanted to know these people, and he says to them, "Pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Look, I know what you got on your mind. I know what your mindset is. I know what kind of bad thing you're wanting to do. And I'm asking you, I'm begging you, don't do so wickedly with these young men. Don't do this. "Behold, now I have two daughters." And you say, "Oh, man. Oh, man." But I want you to understand, in that day and time, women folks were not quite as, didn't get quite the esteem as we do in this day and time. Women were more like something owned or something that belongs to me or something like that. But he should have been willing to even protect his daughter. He should have been willing to stand out there and even have killed him, protect his daughter too. But he says, "I have two daughters. I pray you, let me bring them out to you, and you do unto them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under my roof." We see here that Lot is so vexed from day to day. We see that Lot is so backslid from day to day that he's willing even to give his own daughters to this crazy mob mentality that they would leave these men alone. But we also see that this mob was so incensed about going after these men that even these women didn't turn their mind. It's that they could have been with a woman, they could have been, not rightly, but they could have been with a woman. Instead, they said, "We don't want them. We want them." They were messed up in their stuff. And that's the whole reason God's going to destroy this place, because they were just that messed up. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fella came to sojourn, and we needs to be, and he needs to be a judge." In other words, you've been a stranger here. You've been sitting at our gate. We've been letting you hang around out there. And now you're going to come up into our town. You wasn't born here. You're not a family member here. You're an outsider here. And you're going to judge us about what we're going to do and what we ain't going to do. You think you're going to set yourself up for a judge? And they wasn't going to put up with that. He says, you're going to judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? In other words, Lot, you stepped in the wrong place. You had opportunity to get out of the way. You had opportunity to bring those young men out. But because you didn't, now we're going to deal with you worse than we would have done with them. So whatever they would have done with those guys, they're going to be a whole lot worse with Lot if they could have done it. We see it's a good thing the angels step up here and sort of show a little bravery here. It says here, they pressed on the man sore, even Lot. In other words, they were probably striking at him, beating at him, grabbing at him. But the men, talking about the angels, the men, put forth their hands. I'm thinking they opened up that door and both angels got a hold of one shoulder and they jerked him back into that building, out of those guys' arms and out of their hands. And as soon as they got him jerked in, they slammed the door just like that and put the bar on it. It says, and they pulled the man forth, the hands, and Lot into the house with them, and they shut the door, and they smote the men were at the door of the house with blindness. Now we know that, we remember that blindness happened to a lot of people. There was a guy named Saul who was blinded temporarily, causing him to go to the light and things like that. There was another guy who was a sorcerer who, because he was in the gall of his wickedness, Peter says, let you be blinded. And he was blinded for a little while. So we see God uses blindness a lot of times, not necessarily to permanently blind somebody, but to get them from doing the thing they're doing, to get them where I can't find the door, so after I've wearied myself hunting the door, I might as well mosey on away from here because I can't find it. So they smote these men, and that's a lot of men now, don't get me wrong. This ain't three or four guys at the door. This is a pile of guys round about the house, and they smote them with blindness, both small and great. In other words, there was no distinction in how wealthy you were or how poor you were or what side of town you were on. Everyone got dealt the same deal. Everyone was dealt the same thing. And the men, the angels, said to Lot, see, right now, Lot's just now figuring out they're angels. Up till then, they were just young men in the house. It says, the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides sons-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. In other words, I know you got these two daughters here in the house. Angels don't always know everything, but they knew he had some more family members there. He says, have you got any more family members? We're giving you the opportunity to go talk to your family. We're giving you the opportunity to go witness to your family. We want you to go preach that last sermon to them that they may ever hear. Every one of us will get to do that one day. We'll get to preach that last sermon. He says, have you got anybody else that you might bring out? For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. There's no doubt in Lot's mind now, regardless of how slow he is about picking things up, he knows now that these guys ain't your normal guys. These guys came here for a specific purpose. These guys didn't come to save Sodom. They didn't come to get everybody in Sodom taken care of where they go to heaven. They came here for one purpose. These two angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That was their job. That's what they came to do. And it says here, have you got any more family members? Have you got any more people in your house that you need to witness to that you can bring out that they don't get killed when we do this, killed when we do this destruction? That we don't destroy them also. He says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. That's a scary verse for me. Being that I was lost up till I was of older age, to go back and tell someone who knew me when I was younger how I acted, that they might even think that I'm telling them a story or a fib or some kind of made up something. These guys, because of the way Lot lived his life, he probably didn't have church services every Sunday because he was so busy looking at things going on at Sodom. He was a righteous man. We know that because Peter says so. The Bible says so. But that just shows us, in even us, we have to be really, really, really careful that we don't let things slip in that could cause our testimony when we go to see these people who are about to be destroyed, that they would hear our preaching and see our testimony and say, why am I going to listen to you? I see how you act every week. I see what you do every week. I know what you've been up to every week. Look, you might as well go tell that to people on the corner, because we ain't going to listen to it. They thought he was, they mocked at him. They laughed at him because of his life that he'd been living was not the life of the righteous man he should have been. It says, and they mocked, as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. It goes to show you that the gospel gets preached to them. If it doesn't take effect, there's nobody going back to preach it again. Once judgment is here, once judgment comes, I told them last night, once you wake up in hell, there ain't no going back to start over. It says here, and when the morning was arose, the angels hastened Lot, and saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which art here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And if you remember, there's a place in Revelation where it says, come out from among them, because I'm going to destroy this town. I'm going to destroy this harlot. I'm going to destroy this Babylon. And you, my children, the ones who are saved, come out from among them, lest you be destroyed or lest you be consumed in their iniquity. He says here, Lot. Now, we've been pretty merciful. We told you what we're going to do. We've got you lined up to get out of town, but you need to come on now and let's get on with it. You need to get your business straight. We're not going to tarry around for weeks and weeks and weeks while you think about this. We're destroying this place today. Judgment's going to happen today. He says, and while he lingered, how you got to think? Lot had his wife there and all of her furniture and her daughters there and all their wardrobes of stuff probably. And he probably had a couple of chairs he liked. He's sitting there thinking, how am I going to get all this stuff in the U-Haul this quick? And the angels are saying, don't worry about the stuff. Don't worry about the U-Haul. Don't worry about all the baggies. Don't worry about the groceries. Get your wife, get your daughters, and get on out of here. Because we're fixing to destroy this place. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on him. In other words, they had to take him by the hand. He was so busy worrying about the stuff and the things going on that they said, do you not understand what's fixed to happen? And they grabbed him and one daughter. And the other angel grabbed his wife and one daughter. And the next thing you know, they're outside the city just like that. He says, and he lingered and laid hands on him and upon his wife and upon his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They brought him forth and set him out the city. Now I'm saying these two angels went back. They got a job to do. They got him out of the city. And it came to pass when they had brought him abroad that he said, escape. Talk about another angel there was talking to him, or one of these angels still talked to him. And he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So the angel says, look, there's a mountain right there. Now, Lot's still pretty hard-headed, because we're going to listen to him in a minute. He's going to say, I don't want to go to the mountain. It's too far. But he says, see that mountain right there, Lot? I want you to go to that mountain. I want you to go there with your wife. And I want you to go there with your two daughters. And I want you to go there and be safe. Escape there to that mountain, lest thou be consumed. In other words, there's going to be enough fire and brimstone going around. You need to be over there. We're not just going to destroy the main city here. We're going to take care of the fields and the plains and all the way over to Gomorrah. And they would have probably took care of Zorah if it had to be for him saying, let me go to Zorah instead. Zorah was on the list, I'm sure. He says, and it came to pass, he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay in the plain. In other words, don't stay in the plain because this is going to be a big destruction. This is going to be a big pile of brimstone. This is going to be a big pile of fire. Look, it's going to cover a lot of stuff. Don't just walk out there a few hundred yards and think you're going to sit back and look at this thing, or you're going to get consumed in it. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Ain't that the way we would do if we were backslid? Oh, Lord, that's not the way you do things, is it? Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, how thy servant hath found grace." In other words, you came to me and told me you was going to save me. You came to me and told me you're going to take me out of this wicked bunch of people. You've done all this mercy to me. You showed all this grace to me. Thou hast been so merciful, has magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain. To go to the mountain would be too hard for me. To go to the mountain is way over there. Look, I've been up all night with all this other stuff. I'm tired, wore out. Can't I go to this little old city over here? He said, to escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me. In other words, he's even worried about what's at the mountain. Look, these things are bad here, but they got lions and tigers and who knows what in that mountain over there. Maybe you can't protect me over there. Maybe you can't handle me over there. Boy, did he lose sight of who God was. If God wants to put you in the mountain, if God wants to put you away from the fire, away from the brimstone, away from the evil that's coming, you can bet he can take care of you in the mountain. He says, "Behold, how this city is near to thee to flee unto. And it is a little one." In other words, maybe they don't have all this big sin like they do at Sodom. Maybe they're not doing quite the same thing as at Sodom. Maybe I can go to this little city where they're not quite as bad, where they don't quite do the same things. He says, it's a little city. He says, "Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little, is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." In other words, I'm a city boy now. I can't go in the mountain. I can't go up there in the woods. Let me go to this little city where they got Walmart and Kmart and all them other things. He says, "A little one though, they're not too bad." And he said unto him, this is the Lord talking, "I have accepted thee concerning this thing also." Man, ain't our God gracious? Ain't our God merciful? Even while he's arguing with God, even when God's fixing to destroy this whole pile of stuff, he's talking with God, trying to get something else out of God, and he says, "I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken." All right, Lot. But still, get on over to Zorah. Get on over there right now. I'll let the city stay, but you've got to go. "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Now somebody would take that verse right there and say, "See there, we can hinder God." No, that ain't what that said at all. What he says is, for me not to kill you, I've still got to wait on you to get to Zorah. He didn't say I can't do anything, but what he says is, if I do what I'm going to do, you're going to die right here. Get on out of here, because I can't do anything. Where am I at? For I can't do anything until thou gettest to Zorah. And the sun was risen upon the earth, even when Lot entered in. In other words, the sun has already come up. All this was taking place before sunrise. He's entering in as the sun's coming up. And when the sun's coming up, and the sun has risen upon the earth, and Lot entered into Zorah. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrowed those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, and which grew, and that which grew upon the ground. In other words, he didn't just take the town out. He took out the plains, he took out the cattle, he took out the sheep, he took out all the little village people, he took out Gomorrah, and anything that was between there and there, he took it out with a fire from heaven. Now, I got a thought here, because it says, we're going to run into this later on, but it says here, the next time the earth is destroyed, it's going to be destroyed with fire. Now, Lot's family knew that. Let's keep that in mind when we get to what his daughters do later on. But his daughters knew that the next time the world's going to be destroyed, it's going to be destroyed with fire. So, let's move on. It says, and the Lord rained down on Sodom and on Gomorrah and on the brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. In other words, he didn't spare nothing. There's no other story where somebody came out of Sodom later and says, now here's what happened to me in that thing. Nobody walked out of Sodom. Nobody walked out of Gomorrah. There was only 4 people at this time that walked out of there. Lot, his wife, his 2 daughters. That's the only 4 that came out so far. Let's see. But his wife looked back behind him and she became a pillar of salt. A lot of people say, man, she was a disobedient woman, wasn't she? We give them women a hard time sometimes. She did disobey because she did look back. But she was also a mother. And if there were 2 son-in-laws back there may have been 2 daughters back there. If that were the case. And so, she's looking back. She has family members back there, possibly that didn't believe the preaching that night. She has son-in-laws back there that didn't believe the preaching. And she naturally is curious, because I know how women are, and she just had to see what God was doing. And she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. A pillar of salt. And Abraham, now Abraham knew what God was up to. He'd been told the day before. And Abraham got up early. Guess Abraham's saying, I'm going to look out across yonder to see if I can see this thing that God's going to do. We know it was a pretty good piece off because it took those angels the rest of the evening to get there. So it was a pretty good walk, maybe 10, 15, 20 miles down the road. But that smoke and fire and brimstone, you could have seen that from 20 miles away if it was a good clear day. He said, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom, not the same way Lot looked there. He was looking towards Sodom. He was looking toward Gomorrah because he says, oh God, I got some family over there. Oh God, be merciful for them over there. Oh God, help them over there. I know I asked for 10, but Lord, they may not be 10. I know that's what he was saying. Lord, I'm going to look that way knowing you are a merciful God. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, God kept his word. God didn't change his mind. It says, lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace. This wasn't no little bitty bonfire going on over there. This wasn't somebody having a cookout over there with a little bitty trickle of smoke going up. Oh, they're having fun having a camp out. There was a fire like a big old furnace coming up and a smoke rising up out of it. It was consuming everything around, man, woman, child, house, building, whatever. It was taken care of, and it rose up as a smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. He remembered that Abraham had asked for Lot. He remembered that Abraham had asked for Lot's family. And he sent Lot out in the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities which Lot dwelt. That's kind of a back at the ranch verse right there. Seems like it's a little bit out of place there because he remembered Lot. So he got us back to Abraham because Abraham had prayed for Lot and God remembered Abraham's prayer and he got Lot out of the city. So that's where that verse takes us. And Lot went up out of Zorah. In other words, he got into Zorah and he figured out this place ain't the place I need to be. He went up out of Zorah and dwelt in the mountain and his 2 daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zorah, and he dwelt in a cave with his 2 daughters. Now let's keep in mind here, his 2 daughters grew up at Sodom. His 2 daughters lived around adultery and fornication. That's the thing of life all around them. They lived around drunkenness and partying and festivalness all around them. So it wasn't hard for them to come up with the idea that they came up with. But it says here, let's see here. He lived with his daughters in a cave. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old. Our father is old. And there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Now they just seen. They knew that the next time the earth's going to be destroyed, the world's going to be destroyed, it's going to be destroyed by fire. They, knowing everything behind them, just got destroyed by fire. They haven't been anywhere else. They've been to Zoar, but they've been to the mountain. Now, there were people in Zoar, but they just forgot all about that for some reason. But they're thinking to themselves, our father is old. We're the last two girls in him. There ain't nobody else. If we're going to have any children and replenish the earth or anything like that, to bring the Messiah in, maybe, we've got to have children. There's no other men around. How are we going to work this out? This is a sad case for Lot. This is a sad case for them. But it says here, the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. Let's get him drunk. Let's get him drunk. Let's make him drink wine. And we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed unto our father. They weren't looking for an ongoing relation. They just want to make sure each one got pregnant. They just want to make sure each one of them had seed to go on. They said, let's get our father drunk. Now, a good righteous, people in a good church would say, a righteous man would never get drunk, right? Well, he just lost his wife. He just maybe lost two daughters. He just maybe lost two son-in-laws. Everything he knows is gone. He's got these two girls here. His heart's broke. He's all by himself now, and he's an old man. And they get him drunk. His inhibition is now, his power, his soberness is now diminished because of his weakness in the alcohol, his weakness in the drunkenness. It says here, let's get him drunk, and this night I'll go lie with him. And tomorrow night, you go lie with him, and we'll both get with child. And that's all we need to do. That's all the program is, to get children. It says, come, let us make our father drink wine. Now, we would say if Lot had been really, really good and had stayed away from Sodom, he would have fought that temptation maybe a little bit better. He might have been able to handle that a little bit different. But with a broken heart, with his wife gone, with his wife dead, with other things going on, it would have been easy maybe to get him to succumb to alcohol. It might have been easy to get him to succumb to that. So, Daddy, just drink a few more and you'll feel better. In fact, the proverb says, a man who's going through a really, really bad time, give him something to drink so he'll feel better. When I read that the first time, I said, why would you do that? Because it eases them up, helps them feel better, makes them limber. It says, come, make our father drink wine. And we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed to our father. In other words, we're the last two women left. As far as we know, everything's been destroyed. We're the only ones left. If there's any going to be any civilization, we need to step up here and make something happen, maybe. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not. And she laid down, when she laid down or when she rose up, I'm thinking because he was so inebriated. I don't think he was totally unconscious, but maybe he could have been unconscious. The way it states there, he may have been totally unconscious. But the thing is, he had to have known at some point what he had done. And the sad thing is, he did it that night, and he turned around and did it the very next night. Scary about alcohol. Whether or not you're for alcohol or not, you need to know when to quit, for sure. He undoubtedly, on this night, Lot didn't know when to stop. And that's the problem with me. I don't need to start because if I don't know when I should stop, if I don't ever start, then I ain't got to worry about it. And that's the same with codeine or Oxycontin or any other thing, marijuana or anything. If you don't ever start it, you ain't got to figure out when your time to stop is. So anyways, that's just a sidebar there. And they made their father, 34. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I laid yesterday night with my father. Look, we had a deal now. You remember? I was going to do it. then you're going to do it. You know how girls are, or guys are too. I did my part yesterday. Now, you ain't backsliding here. We had a deal. So he says, and it came to pass on the morrow, the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drunk with wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed to our father. So she said, she sort of challenged, said, look, I know you kind of, maybe you ain't feeling quite like you want to do this thing, but we've got a deal. We already made this decision. I kept my end of the deal. You got to keep your end of the deal. Let's get him drunk. And it just seems like Lot just was so miserable and so upset that when they started bringing the wine in, he sure didn't mind drinking it. And finally, he went into a stupor and got drunk and couldn't feel no more sorrow, no more pain. And the younger came right on in and lay with him. Thus were the two daughters of Lot with child with their father. Both of them got pregnant. Says it only happened one time apiece. That's all it took. They weren't into major affairs. They were trying to preserve seed. Said, and both firstborn bear a son, and the child's name was Moab. And you're sitting there, well, now, Charlie, we're going to get into this Moab thing if we keep on going, right? Who is Moab? What happens with Moab? All the things about Moab. Well, we've gone a long time to go in Genesis. We're going to find out some stuff. So one of Lot's daughters had a son whose name was Moab. You know that David's great-grandma was a Moabite? So, I'm not saying this was good, and of course we know it ain't good, but in the providence of God, this nation was in the lineage of our Lord, Moab. And the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And we're going to find out some stuff about them Ammonites too after a while too. So I want you to understand that while God saves people, He also knows what's happening and uses circumstances. He also knew that these things were going to take place. He also knew that Lot in his bitterness, Lot in his sorrowfulness was going to allow them to let him get drunk. You say a good man would have stopped that. There's a lot of good men have succumbed to alcohol and drugs and everything else after someone dies or something. It's easy when we're standing on this side, oh, how righteous I am, I would never do that. And in Galatians it says, be careful when you think you stand that you might not, that you fall. But also, I remember a verse in Habakkuk. I like Habakkuk. And if I'm not mistaken, these daughters gave their father wine that they might look upon his nakedness. And in Habakkuk he says, woe unto the person who gives anybody strong drink that they may look upon their nakedness. In other words, it's one thing to offer somebody a drink in hospitality, but if you got some kind of evil mindset, some kind of I'm going to get them drunk where I can take advantage of them or get a deal with them or do something else with them, get them high that I might take over on them, God says, don't think I ain't paying attention. Don't think I ain't looking at your motives. So, that was just a sidebar there because I like Habakkuk. But I did remember that when I was studying. I says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor or friend strong drink that he might look upon their nakedness. He didn't say you couldn't give him a drink. He said, but you better have the right attitude when you do it. Better have it right. Now me, I ain't got no drinks to give you. I'm sorry. I'll leave you a glass of water and some tea maybe. Might be a Coke left. I'm fixing to quit them, so there ain't going to be many Cokes left. You better get there quick. But that's our stuff for the night. Brother Keith, would you dismiss us, please?
Judgment to these people, they deserve to stay in the center.